check, check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Microphone check for the interpreters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You never know. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and just a small piece of housekeeping. For those who are on the audio bridge, we would appreciate if you joined us in the Adobe Connect room so we can pick up any questions you have via the chat room. I will remind you that we are simultaneously translating into English, French and Spanish here today, and the usual reminders about if I haven't said thank you, Dev, thank you, Siva, or go ahead, Adam, then it would be a good idea for you to name yourself so that they can name you, because the listening audience hears their voices, not ours.
And if she says it and gets your name wrong, correct her.
Absolutely, because you're correcting a record. Now, we have a couple of things on the agenda this morning. There's the all-important key performance indicators for ALAC, which I'm filibustering here to ask, get Alan's attention. At what point in this morning's agenda would you like to have that inserted?
Some point after I get my computer powered on. So not the first item, but I may be ready for the second or certainly later.
But as early in the program as is reasonable. Okay. Another thing is, excuse me, this morning we have the report of the chairs to the community as a result of our activities at this meeting. It's a glorious 5 minutes and not a millisecond more. So quite clearly I'm only able to do the highlights. What I'd like to spend some time today doing in this session is establishing what highlights you as a community feel I need to have in the verbal transcript. I have a single slide that I have sent to be my presentation. It says, very simply, ALAC report to the 35th meeting, Sydney, date, blah, 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 and it's got a logo of Sydney on the top. It has three things then. The URL of our at-large site, where we will be putting up an extensive report of the meeting. The URL and a tiny URL of the working document, which shows all of the non-ALAC meetings we attended, who attended them, and that's the space where your ongoing reports have been going up to, and that's going to be linked. Now, like all wikis, fear not if Garth, you just put a few scant words in and you want to fill them out later, that's fine. That I'm linking that in the permanent record, which will go into the meeting record. So that's the place to link fuller documentations if you are going to be doing them in the future.
Thank you, because
go ahead, Garth. Mike.
Thank you very much, because I was concerned about that. I only had time to turn my notes on one session into a full report, and I have notes for a couple of others. So,
We do, in fact, ask an extraordinary amount of people when they join ALAC as a volunteer, but I'm trying to avoid cruelty and punishment. So our aim, and particularly I think it's important to realise, our aim in doing this hyperlinked system was very much to make it easier. So even if you just Skyped a couple of things in notes, you could go back, cut and paste from those. and then fill it out later. And I'm looking forward to perhaps repeating this in Seoul if, in fact, you've all found it a useful thing. I think the other thing, just in looking at the feedback from the reporting of all the non-at-large meetings that we've all attended, is that all... I don't think if there was a meeting that didn't say closed, that we didn't have someone in the room. I'd like to be told I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I believe we had a presence and a meaningful presence in just about every meeting that was going on at this ICANN meeting. And from my perspective, it's all about still selling us as a concept that we are not, you know, the unwashed masses that should be assembled outside waving placards, that we actually do have meaningful contributions to make to debate and to the development of policy, and that we are a valued part of the community. And, of course, by being seen, we're reinforcing that. So can I thank each and every one of you, those here still, those who are on aeroplanes flying back home, and those who are heading to airports to do so. And there I'm very, very keen to note the work of all the regional leaders here today. I expect a huge amount from our ALAC, but then they're used to that. The regional leaders really, you know, have gone above and beyond the call of duty. And I think of particular note, we look at the work that was done ad hoc on the IRT response. So, formal vote of thanks to the ALS members who are here and have worked so hard, to the regional leaders who are here and have worked so hard, and of course to the hard-working ALAC. Is there any feedback points and reporting from the meetings you attended that you would like to ensure goes in as a highlight to our report today? The floor's open. Yeah. Vanda.
Just remember that in our board meeting yesterday, we have a very good conversation with Roberto about the consumer protection. So I guess it's one point that we will follow from here, and it's important to highlight in the report.
Excellent, and I'm trusting that someone is capturing all of these points so that I get them in a priority order. Go ahead, Carlos.
Sí, pero... Yes, especially I was interested and I liked very much and I was really interested.
We'll train them eventually.
I liked a lot, and I think very important to stress the meeting we had with the Committee of Public Participation Board, because I think we could do some input where we were heard, and God willing, perhaps we are lucky, and some of these things will be seen in actual reality.
Other issues that I would like to highlight for this meeting is the presence of the CCTLD here in our meeting. Mm-hmm. That was a new thing that I believe it's very important and very useful. Another point was to highlight was our GAC meeting was very, very good, and with a huge participation from our side, I believe is important. And the most important issue is really what you already said is the full participation in remote. Condition for many people, even in a region like ours, that is the opposite time zone.
Excellent. Any further key issues that you feel are essential that we bring up and highlight? Go ahead, Rudy. Oh, sorry.
You can go first.
I just thought it was worthwhile to highlight the certainly my extreme satisfaction, and I presume that of others, of us going into a joint meeting with NCUC to discuss a statement on the IRT with people on different sides of the table with extreme different views and hammering out an agreement or a statement that met all of our needs, and I think met all of our needs well. And that's a promising sign for future cooperation, and I think it needs to be noted.
I'd be more than happy to do that. I have Rudy, then I have Adam, or is it...
Well, I think that we can say that we have a new milestone in the collaboration between CCNSO and ALAC. We have been sitting together, Cheryl, Chris Despain, Don Sherwood, and myself, and we finalized a debate on how we could work together, closer together. And it seems that from both sides it's a green light, and we'll have, or we will try to work closer together in the sense that questions brought up from the ALAC will pass through Ron to the CCNSO, and answers coming back or questions coming from CCNSO will come from Ron to me to the ALAC. And we will try both liaisons to find a way to find always answers for the questions we have.
If I may, based on our discussion over lunch yesterday, Rudy, what I'd like to make the specific wording sound like a formalisation of how the liaisons between the ALAC and the CCNSO will work for our mutual benefit. I think that covers it. Thank you. Adam's next, then Siva.
Have we mentioned the... Have we mentioned the ALAC review yet and thanking them? And how wonderful we think it is, and look forward to it all being implemented.
With perhaps a less than subtle in the shortest possible time there.
Expeditiously.
Expeditiously indeed. Siva, go ahead.
About the meeting between ALAC liaison and CCNSO liaison. CCNSO and GNSO are two houses that debate on idea and issues. And it would be nice if there could be some way by which I could also be connected to the liaisons of CCNSO and GNSO. I dropped into a GNSO meeting yesterday afternoon. I was there very briefly, and all that I did was to say that I'm from ALAC, and I could not participate much. And I would like to have... some formal way of going into these two houses so that I can follow the discussions and be there in person.
I just want to clarify. You did say a formal way to work with these two houses. Is that what you were indicating?
A formal way to work with these houses in the sense that some kind of an authorization from ALAC to attend their meetings and some kind of a mandate for the liaison
okay.
to go to the house
I understand.
And attend meetings.
I understand. At an ICANN meeting, if the meeting is open, anyone can go anywhere. If a topic is related to your particular mandate, i.e. IDNs, we would expect you to be there, and how you work with those houses is via the liaisons. Because we have a clear relationship between the mandated liaisons and the particular liaisons. But I'll let the liaisons respond. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah.
I have my lights.
With the understanding that when you are speaking, it is clear that whether you're speaking on behalf of the ALAC, something having been discussed and it being a formal position, or your personal position, which you may add you think is generally converged. That doesn't mean for every time you open your mouth you have to say, this is on my behalf or this is on someone else's. It's just in a group that you're going to be attending regularly, be it GNSO or CCNSO or the GAC or whatever, that you establish the ground rules ahead of time with the chair. So it's understood when you are speaking on behalf of the advisory committee in a formal sense, and when you're speaking on behalf of yourself in presumably a knowledgeable way about things that have had some discussion, or in the third you're speaking on behalf of yourself and you know no one agrees with you. or not sure, well, that's fine. That happens all the time. At least with me.
I already said too much.
Sebastian first.
Ladies first.
No, go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, I am not a writer man, and I apologize. It's very difficult for me to make a report rating in this period. I was, for example, also completely lost with Skype. 600 messages I didn't read because it's I. One time I skip and then I am lost. Then it's a matter of we need to find. And I understand that's a good tool, and I could be very happy to use it, but it was too much this time for me. And I think we need to find a way to have the very important message carry, maybe in some other way, to be sure that we get it, not just somewhere in the middle of a thousand of message. My point now to answer Cheryl's question is that I went to one, I think, It's useful meeting was the one where the sick, it's all about the illness of ICANN, is working about the new, all the committee evaluation and try to coordinate. And very few people was there because it was in competition with the meeting here on the public participation, but I think we went to some ideas. First of all, I have to say that the main topic is about the board member elected by ALAC and the number of board members. Then the nexus, the more important nexus of all these committees, it's now around ALAC at large board members. And it's come out with one. I will not say that it's a decision, but it's something. Who will happen? Is that today there will be a meeting to start above a brother or father, if I understand well, to open to the community to discuss what could be the change in the bylaw, and not to leave that out in any committee or just to have a real in-depth discussion and feedback from the community. And I will try to go to this one hour and a half meeting this afternoon to follow what's happened there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Alan?
I'm not quite sure how we got onto this subject from what we were discussing before, but I did go to the meeting of discussing the board review. And I think I can come out of that saying that there is a significant and significant, important, and vocal part of the board that feels it would be ludicrous to reduce the size of the board at this point. So I cannot see it happening, but there may be other people with strong voices somewhere else on the board and within the community. But the opinions from the public, although there were not many opinions posted, were all universally, don't do it. Several board members at the meeting said, we shouldn't do it. And several board members said, when I started this process N months ago, I thought we should do it. I've now reconsidered. So I would be very surprised if we ended up with a 9-person board, although they do intend to go ahead and look at what such a board would look like and see how well it meets the needs of the community. But the general perception is the answer is thumbs down is for those who are not here.
Well, just remember the yesterday meetings at the afternoon was very good, and it's for any point of view was very good. It's the DNS abuse, and with a lot of people talking about different issues related to how to treat abuse, how they are supporting them, what the countries are doing, what the CC are doing, and it was really very good one, long one, but very good one. Long one, but really a very good, and that deserves some reference, because to learn a lot of about this issue was a very good experience.
If I may, I'd like to pair that with the work and the malicious abuse in new GTLDs and that one as well. Yeah. Adam? Or?
Yeah, just going back to Alan's point about the board and reduction to 9, the only people who seem to be still in favour are business, and they seem very much in favour of reducing it. So they haven't given up, so it might be interesting to see how influential their voice remains in ICANN and if they can swing it. On the abuse session, I thought there was something notable that perhaps, I don't know if we can improve it, but Bo, speaking with evidence from one of our ALSs, Nujon, I think made a quite notable mistake that had we looked at it, we'd have noted it, because I know that Bill Semick is here and I know he's a real person who has done real work, and small corrections that we can make of each other's, I don't know how we can coordinate these things a little bit better, because he wasn't speaking as an ALAC member or an ALS, but still we are friends in the same room.
Nick's waving at me.
Yeah, the only thing I would say there is I did talk to Bo after that, and the fact that Bill Semich participates here or not to him is irrelevant to the point of what is hosted on that CCTLD. So I suspect if you had said, even if he'd shown it to you, he would have said, I'm sorry, the point is still valid. I will take out any reference to him being here or not being here.
Yeah, it sounded like an abusive joke when he said, you know, it was the same connection he was making to the Russians who, you know, were alluding to be sort of, you know, this ephemeral spies who would never be around the place. It was as if Semik, as far as he was concerned, was a non-person. And I think that was the point that came over was that's why people were pissed off.
Gareth?
I found that whole situation to be quite distressing. Well, yes, especially for you, Cheryl, being there as chair. But my comment here is Nujon is an ALS. I was also present in Mexico City where Garth was taken on quite dramatically by some of the other people in one of the meetings. Nujon giving accurate information? I mean, is this going to be a comfortable situation for us, or what's the issue here?
Rudy?
Well, I have been working with Garth for a couple of months in order to get the Nujon.com in Nujon.eu for Europe. I know what research work they are doing, and I also know that when you point out that there is a problem, you're always the bad person. And that's what happened yesterday. We have been pinpointing to a few situations which we all know that they exist. You cannot avoid these kind of situations. But they don't like it when you say it in a public forum.
I think I'm going to use similar language to what I used yesterday. I think we so note these discussions formally in this meeting. And in the informal chats that many of us had with the industry players and the consumer representation people we had. And let's face it, consumer representatives need to have a way of building trust and to be trusted. It is two-way on all of us. And to use my shorthand and metaphorical vernacular, I said we all need to learn how to play in the sandpit together and what the rules of engagement and expectations are. And I think if we just move through that process, I'm not fearful. I'm looking forward to spirited debate and fearless, frank challenges, because that's how things improve. But in many processes, and I think this comes back to some extent to the IRT report as well, it would be so much more productive if we were at the input point as opposed to the output and commentary side of things. if you develop something with people, you've also developed an understanding, not necessarily an agreement, but an understanding of each other's points of view. And you can nearly always, in my experience, find language, which means you are not compromising your core principles or your points and yet not giving offence to others. And on that matter, I would like to propose to this meeting that the, as an Asia-Pacific representative into the ALAC, the offence to my CJK group and the CC support that those ALSs get from the countries that were named in that report was concerning to me as well. And whilst I would not be asking for any form of retraction, because facts is facts, I am concerned that we will do better working in positive partnership to make change as opposed to a conflict relationship, and we need to look at how we do that. Sometimes it's the painful word of diplomacy. Go on, Nick.
Hard to follow, Cheryl. I just wanted to note that, as I unfortunately have to sort of do so often, I just wanted to note that there, what I have heard is that Nujan's research is good to the extent that he does it, but he's two people. And, you know, it's very difficult to do comprehensive research in complex areas with two people. And so the irony is I was told privately that actually some of the more funded research along the same lines would probably, and has in the past, shown actually things are worse than Nujan has. So I think that there's probably a real case, as Cheryl has just said, for ALAC and at large helping to facilitate the different groups who gather the same or related information and talking to one another, because if they could all compare notes, probably they could all make a more compelling case.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why we decided from as ISO Belgium as an ALS to help Nujan and mirror what they are doing in Europe, and I think that would be a good idea to try to get us all involved in when we hear somewhere that there is a problem with a CCTLD or with a GTLD, that we try to get it together in the databases of Nujan in order to have a richer quality of input and arguments which we can then bring up individually in our regional context through our RALOs in order to get to maybe, like in Europe, to go to center, because the CCNSO has also members, regional members, regrouping the CCTLDs by region. And I think that could be a first step of integrating also the RALOs in the activities approaching the regional CCTLDs.
Thank you, Rudy. And obviously, for the record, the encouragement that the ALAC continuously gives to the regional leads within the RALOs to reach out and to interact with their NICs is incredible. So AP RALO needs to work with AP NIC. Yeah. LAC RALO needs to work with. And there is a marriage there, because that's the nexus. Go ahead, Vanda.
Yeah, just to mention that yesterday we made an agreement with the .BR to get together with us to, because the ALS in Brazil is too weak, just few people. It's completely unbalanced with the size of the country, our participation in the ICANN since the beginning. So we decide to get together to build and rebuild the ISOC over there, and to have a huge ALAC group inside Brazil.
Well, we look forward to getting that application. And I think I am able to report formally now to the meeting that the Korean ALS application is now in, and so we will, as I wrote back, we will go with as much speed but no haste through the due diligence, and hopefully we'll be able to expedite having at least one, because I believe there's a second one in the pipeline, ALS application coming from Korea. Olivier.
Could I report that the UK application will soon be in as well?
I have a sense of deja vu on that, but thank you, and I want it to the record. We look forward to that, London.
I have had confirmation from those who decide that it will be done.
Garth, go ahead.
Sorry, I missed who that was.
The United Kingdom.
Did I mention learning the rules of engagement? Humour is a very useful tool, but remember the transcription stands. We
basically
need to know when it's a joke.
Your boss, Garth.
So often jokes do not interpret or translate well. We do need to sometimes punctuate when we're not at each other, but we are actually smiling. Because if you look back on the written word, we go, whoa, what's happening between Canada and the UK? Yeah, Ben, Heidi, go ahead.
In the main room, usually there is a sort of a brackets laughter. Close brackets.
Yeah, I think we may have to start instigating this because clearly we're not only working harder, we're having way too good a time about it. Heidi, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to announce as well for Neuralo, there's a new ALS application, and that is the San Francisco Bay Internet Society that has just sent their application in.
Excellent.
San Francisco Bay Internet Society.
Oh, excellent.
Andres.
I was stuck for... Yeah, you're right. Tienes razón, Carlos. me quedé pensando en lo que decía Cheryl de la... Gracias. Decía que Cheryl mencionó la... Great.
Okay, it's okay. Can you hear the translation? It's okay?
Okay, I have it here. Yeah, go ahead. Adelante.
Bueno, ahora tengo que...
I have to say something important, so I'd rather say something important now after all this. I was saying that I was thinking about what Cheryl was commenting a few minutes ago regarding the relationship of the five Rallos and the five Reels, and when we spoke some days ago about deepening that relationship between or among CCTLDs and ALAC and the regions and the ALSs, I was imagining the way, because Rudy is a liaison and there is work done in the higher part of the pyramid, and the engagement could be more formally carried out. I don't see exactly this way or this route, especially I'm lucky that I have more relationship with ACNIC than ICTLD, and this is just by chance. Anyway, the relationship is with the regional registry is with one person that is involved in a process, and sometimes it participates, but we haven't been able to force something institutional in Acralo, but this would have quite strength at the moment of doing some interaction. The LLS in ACNIC in Latin America, because my vision is from my region, we eventually participate in some instances opened by the same registry, and we don't go past that. I don't see clearly how can that engagement could be deepened between the users. This is what I wanted to say.
And I'm quite sure it's not without challenges. It's a matter of an exploration, though, that when you've got a relationship through a person, it's often just an assumed, informal, but nevertheless successful thing that we need to work with it. Go ahead, Mohamed.
Yeah. I think maybe just suggesting a solution. Starting to engage the RALO with the CCTLD regional organization in your region could be beneficial. And one aspect of that could be research. Currently, some CCLD regional organizations are planning to do research in terms of CCLD relations or CCLD aspect, internet users in countries. And I think that's an area that RALOS could play a major role. And currently, we have a good relation between AFRALO and FTLD. That part of maybe the same people maybe are some way or another linked to that organization, but this is an area I think we can try to have a formal relationship there.
And of course, each region, as it is in a different point of its internet development, and in fact its users of internet numbers, will probably have different pressures on those relationships. In Asia Pacific, of course, we have many of our member ALSs, which are also running the CC. It's just the way it's been developed. So the need for a formal, less formal or informal relationship, I think, is up to those groupings. But to encourage a conversation and or a relationship should definitely be the end game. As we look to our agenda, yes, Dev? Please, go ahead.
Just also among the other things that was also already mentioned, the travel support, I think, discussion that was also very useful, I think. I think a lot of the misunderstanding, I think it was more misunderstandings that have apparently been resolved, and it's good to see that. And it was a much different situation than in Mexico, where it was a bit of a verbal disagreements between the different constituencies about who is getting more support over which and so forth. So I think it's what has happened with the actual report is actually quite good for all constituencies, including ELAC and at large.
I wonder if I may be so bold as to encourage you to support me in also giving thanks to the staff that, you know, Kevin and Steve have I think, done a superb job. They've interacted with us. They've also made it, I think, one of the smoothest ones I've experienced here. So I might put that into that as well.
Indeed. Yeah.
Thank you. Any further points that you're going to get hot under the collar about if they're not actually mentioned in our report? Good. And Alan? Whoop. We're coming at you from all sides. Heidi? For those on the phone bridge, there was both Alan... Go ahead.
I think you were asking me, am I ready to talk about KPI, which I am if I can get a plug into my computer. And Heidi was asking me, are we going to talk about the voting thing, you know, the voting procedure, which I think is Adam's point at this stage because he has the wording.
So as I was going to say, whoever's ready for what order of what's left on the agenda, while we connect the dongle to the computer, Adam, do you want to bring the voting to this point now? Or do you want to wait till KPIs? I would like to think we could put voting to bed and then have a conversation with KPIs. There seems to be something caught here.
If someone could put the text of the email I sent a few days ago onto a screen, then we can see it. It was sent to... I've got...
Okay, the magic is going to happen. We are going to have the words... on the right-hand screen, I assume, so that the interpreters can, in fact, read them, which makes their life slightly easier. And might I just thank you all. Perhaps it's a product of it being day 7 of a 5-day conference for us all. But the speed and pace of the words coming out of your mouths at this hour of the morning, I think a great relief to the hard-working and incredible interpretation staff.
Yeah, I was just wondering which I sent it to. That was my hesitation. It was to the, I think it's the one we call the working list. It was the ALAC list last Sunday. So that's where it is. It's just a matter of who can get the screen connected.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a race. It's a bit like the panel yesterday. It was like doing one of those quiz shows where people were reaching out to hit the buzzer to get the question answered first. It was very exciting. Here we go. We've got it up on screen. Go ahead, Adam.
Right, so Alan, Sebastian and I were asked at the last ALAC meeting to produce some language that we could hopefully vote on and pass. I don't know if we wish to do that at this meeting. If we can do, then good-o. And this is the text that we came up with. So this is the procedure for how we would carry out votes. And while I'm thinking about that, there is something that Bo said that we should probably consider. And in addition to this, it would be with the understanding that wherever possible, options would be worded in the positive, i.e. we are not going to have negatives to deal with and get confused over and so on and so forth. And I think it was agreed that, yes, this would happen, and it's an understanding that all votes would be positively worded so that we could say yes, no, without any hesitation. So having noted that, it's not necessarily to put it in the proposed text. Do you want me to try and read it? I'm not sure I can see it at this early hour, but there you go.
Yes, I like to see you struggle.
Right.
Go ahead.
The proposed text is, and this is the procedure for voting. As the vote is proceeding, we can see how many people have voted. As the vote is proceeding, we can see who has voted. As the vote is proceeding, we can see a tally of how the votes have been cast. The order of the options should not change as the vote proceeds. Outsiders who cannot vote can look at all of the above interim results. When the vote is ended, we can see how each person has voted.
Go ahead, Alan.
I'll note that the substantive difference between this and the previous one is we are not showing online how people have voted. I will note that if someone keeps on looking at it every minute of every day for 7 days, when the counts go up, they can figure out how each person voted if they care enough. It's not really an attempt to make it secret. It was just felt it was not needed at this point.
Adam, did you want to... Oh, thank you. Carlos?
Sí, perdón.
Sorry, but I didn't understand. Can you please explain again how this will be?
Que se podemos, se puede ver...
The objective is for it to be able to be seen. At some stage, at one moment, you can see the tally. Those who voted for and those who voted against. How many voted against, for, and abstention. So every minute, you see what happens. You can say that some people, what people have been voting during the vote, but except for that, this doesn't show. We have to take this into account for it not to be done open. But at the end, you will be able to see who voted for what. So voting is done as we've been doing, and you can see how many votes are for one or the other alternative. You don't know who voted for one or the other alternative, and at the end you know the result and who voted for each proposal. Who voted?
To that original text that we had, we will actually know who has voted throughout the process, just not how, until the end. Dev?
Just a question on the wording. What is the order of the options should not change? What does that line mean?
Alan?
In one of the whole issue I brought up because in many cases when we did a new vote, the parameters were different. Sometimes you could see the results partway through, sometimes you couldn't, sometimes you could see who had voted, sometimes you couldn't. And my whole reason for bringing this up initially was just to get a standard set of parameters so it didn't change. In one of the versions where they showed the count for yes and no as it went along, the options were reordered so whoever was winning was on top. So in other words, it wasn't the first and second option, it was... There was the first and second option before anyone voted. Once someone votes, the options could be changed. It's a kind of format used in popularity contests where, for online voting for who's the best singer and things like that. So I just wanted to make sure that it was clear that we were not using that option.
So if I try to understand all that, it means that, in other words, the parameters of what is being voted on shouldn't be changed, and then the vote, the vote is on for one particular option, and that option should not change until that the vote is carried. I guess I'm not.
Let me try to be clear. If we were doing this vote online, the question would be: do you support the new rules? Yes or no. Okay. If at some point during the vote six people had voted no and four had voted yes, the options would have been changed to no and yes instead of yes and no. In other words, the first one is always the one with the biggest count so far, okay? And we're saying this should not be done. The number, either we do a random order on the ballot for every ballot, or they stay the same. Different people shouldn't see different ballots at different times.
Adam, it's enough, right? Okay. Anyone wish to speak to this matter? Who is putting this motion? Alan, who is seconding it? A mass of hands. Yes, so there's it looked more like a vote then than a seconding. I'm fairly confident about the outcome here, ladies and gentlemen. May I ask for anyone who wishes to abstain from this vote to make themselves known? I see no one, and I believe there is no one online. Is someone looking at that? Let me know if there is. I now ask for anyone who wishes to have their name recorded against this motion. I see no one. Do I see anyone online? Apparently not. Therefore, by unanimous support, the motion goes through. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Alan. Thank you all. You would think simple things would be able to happen simply, but that is never the case. Alan, go ahead.
And thank you, Sebastian.
Heavens above, yes. Thank you, Sebastian.
I do have one further thing, which I didn't think of at this time, and it's not relevant to this motion. Most other groups in ICANN, if someone abstains, they have to give a reason. And I don't know whether we need this codified in the rules, but I would definitely like to make sure that when someone abstains, they give the reason, and maybe they have a conflict of interest, or maybe they haven't read the documents, or whatever, but I think we need to document why.
Okay, go ahead, Garth.
Yes, I note that there was an issue regarding the acceptance of the recommendations from North America and Rallo regarding that ALS application where there was an abstention and people voting against, and I know Evan was particularly upset and wondering what was going on, so if there were some explanation for some of that, that would have helped.
I always like to hear why someone votes against it unless it's overwhelmingly rejected by everyone. I'm not sure we can require that, or maybe we should. I don't know. But I was addressing the abstentions. My feeling, by the way, in that ALS vote, it was a case of in one case the ALS was recommending exception, in one case the ALS was recommending rejection. When people hear two votes of a similar matter, they sort of think if you vote yes to both of them, the same result happens. But we were not voting to admit; we were voting to accept the recommendation, and I think that inherently is a confusing statement and one that we may want to work on again. It's not the first version we have, but
indeed, I again taking off my chair hat and putting on my AP Rallo hat, I would be supportive as a representative of the region of a strong encouragement for the use of the comment box associated with the polling tool to be used in the point of abstention or of voting against, that it is strongly encouraged for abstention, but I would have to argue against making it mandatory because there are very good reasons in some regions why you may have to simply not vote, and it is those reasons that we cannot make public. Go ahead, Carlos.
No, sí, aparte...
Yeah, and besides, I think it's some way of pressuring the person who votes to ask him why he does it in such and such a way. If we have to explain why we abstain or why we make a negative vote, we also will have to do it for the ones who vote for the motion.
Go ahead.
That's why I did not suggest it for no. In the past, we've had many cases where people abstain because they really haven't thought about it or don't know the thing. And I think that's a valid reason, but I think it should be clear whether it's a conflict of interest or not. And I simply note that, for instance, in policy votes, the GNSO requires that abstentions be explained. Pardon me?
The board also...
And I think the same is true on the board. So I was simply putting it up as a discussion. I wasn't asking to vote on it at this point.
Okay.
Maybe sometime in the future we do.
I understand the points. I need you to all understand that as we bring the next billion and the billion after that and another 50 or 60 countries into this system, that may be much easier if it was an opt-in as opposed to an opt-by definition you're already in. With comments. And the same goes when I argued along similar lines on the regional advice being made public or not. There are times when things for our processes could influence real life outside ICANN world, and that's where our priorities need to lie, or we won't have volunteers from some of these spaces and places. Perfect timing for Nick to leave because I actually wanted to ask a question that he's going to need to answer. So you best come back for a moment. If we start wording in the affirmative, and I've got to tell you, I would like to be doing that, so what Bo said in the preamble here, is that going to mean that we need to change the wording in how we have established our rules for ALS application votes? Because at the moment it's almost forcing a double negative. If that's the case, then I would like to have that actually formalised in our meeting in Seoul. But I'm asking Nick first, is that the case or not?
It would substantially change the process. You're voting... The regions provide regional advice... Very briefly, the regions provide regional advice. And the ALAC... The way the procedure is designed is that ALAC follows the regional advice unless it votes to overturn it, so that the regional advice becomes sort of the most important part of whether to admit an ALS or not. So we can word it in an affirmative way, which we have started by doing by saying, yes, I agree to accept the ALS and the regional advice, or no, I vote to overturn. We have worded it in a way that is less confusing, but if you actually changed the underlying concept, it would be changing the process.
Well, I was going to note that in our first attempt to follow the procedures, we in fact did have doubled negatives, and that was really confusing. We now have eliminated the double negatives, but it is still confusing. And I suspect that we can follow the letter of the law, but not necessarily have yes mean follow the regional advice. All we have to do is, well, we can try wordsmithing, and if that doesn't work, then we may have to change the rules. I suspect we can do it within the rules.
It would be nice if we could.
That's an exercise to follow.
Let's see how we go. Yes, go ahead, Guy.
As long as we maintain what we're doing now, where the regional advice is the first barrier, and that's the important one.
We worked way too long to be making that happen to get this lot to change. I note, Siva, you are leaving. I did Skype back. Yes, of course, you've got to be somewhere else. That's fine. But I would just like to bring to this group's attention and the regional leaders who might be looking at this transcript that you have put out the questions for feedback, specific itemised to paragraph, for us to get back post haste to be able to make a comment on the PDP process for IDNs. So just attention to your recent email. There's just four or five questions that we're seeking feedback. That means regional leaders need to talk to the ALSs, need to get those answers, need to feed it back into us. Okay, is that pretty much what you would have said? Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Now, of course, the minute I'm going to throw across to Alan for key performance indicators, I'm going to catch him with a mouthful of breakfast. No? Okay, fine. That's fine. Alan, key performance indicators. And the other thing is I'm going to highly, highly encourage us all to finish no later than 20 past 8.
The first question, is that sufficiently visible or do I need to blow it up more? I plan to read what is
I'm
there.
I'm fine. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Okay. First of all, my apologies. After the process to try to work on this abysmally failed out of Cairo, in Mexico City, it was assigned to me. And I must admit, I didn't get around to it till very close to the meeting. Part of my reason was not delaying it at all, but part was I really felt I wanted to go into this discussion with the small working group. And by the way, the small working group included me, Cheryl, Carlos, Adam, and Fatimata. So what I did is I tried to go through all of the documents we had, which include our rules of procedure, the draft that Nick had done, which most of us considered overkill, but nevertheless attempted to identify all the performance issues, a document that Carlos had put together just after Cairo, I think. And although I didn't list the document, I did look at the little bit of job description we had, and Adam pointed out what the URL was, so I added that here. Now, as I was reviewing these documents, I started putting together not a list of what we should do, but a list of principles or basic positions that I thought we needed to note as we addressed the problem. And I think I had 9 of them. The first one is that purely quantitative measures, that is, counting how many meetings you attended or how many emails you sent, is not adequate. People cannot meet those requirements for all sorts of reasons that are completely valid and acceptable. And conversely, you can attend every meeting and make no contribution at all to the process. You can send 17 emails a day, and all you do is serve to fill up other people's email in baskets and not make any real contribution. However, despite that, the metrics are useful in identifying possible problems. And we should continue and to create the metrics and refine them so that they have some meaning, but not use them as a way to say you're out because you didn't attend a number of meetings. We never have actually used them that way. We've always interpreted them on a rather soft way, and I think we must continue to do that. Okay. The next conclusion was, it's hard to think of an ALAC member who is not a successful, committed person in many aspects of their life, both professionally and in terms of other volunteer efforts that they work on. So you have to ask yourself, if someone is not contributing at all or very little in the at-large process and in the ALAC process, why? It's not because they're stupid. It's not because they don't have the ability to contribute. We're looking at some misalignment. Either the issues that we talk about here don't interest them, or it interests them, but it's just not high enough on the priority list. I use the term not important enough. Fatimata pointed out that not important enough is not the same as not important. It just doesn't come high enough on your list compared to your family or the people who are paying you or whatever the other issues are to simply give you enough time to do it. And when I did this particular process is a good example of that. I feel passionately about it, but other things came first for a while. Carlos added the concept of, do we need to do something to give incentive to ALAC members? And I'm not sure I know what the answer is. At some level, if you volunteer for this, simply being one of the very few people who are selected to actually do the work on behalf of your region or for the non-common appointees on behalf of the world should be incentive enough. But it's something we can think about. The next point the conclusion I came to was that in addressing performance problems, we must be sensitive to cultural issues. Now, this came out in a number of different ways. First of all, some professions, some people spend their lives and are trained in confrontation. They have no problem at all but going up to someone and saying, things aren't working well, you have to fix it or you're out. I can think of two professions where that kind of statement is part of their job. It happens in the legal profession, and it happens, and if you're a reporter, your job is to confront people and saying you're messing up. You know, that's how we have, what does that sign mean?
No, it's the clash and move on.
Oh, okay, fine. I thought you were telling me to do something. Okay.
Clash and move on.
Yeah. But there are cultures and there are individuals who don't handle that well, and we can't set up rules which presume everyone will handle it well. The second one is actually an issue that Cheryl alluded to in our previous discussion, that many of the people on at large and in ALAC interact with each other in different forums, be it IGF or regional activities, and setting up procedures which force people in a public way to confront each other is almost guaranteeing that people will not be completely honest if they know they have to meet the same person next week in another venue and work with them. So I think we have to be sensitive to that. Carlos had the interesting concept that if indeed people are working with each other in different venues, shouldn't that mean they really try harder to be good on ALAC so they won't be embarrassed? I think the answer is it should, but it's not 100% clear that it does. Maybe once we start having penalties in one form or another and say that we do not accept very poor behavior, we'll probably always accept partially poor behavior. That may, in fact, drive people to not be put in an embarrassing position and cause them to deliver. But to be honest, I'm not convinced. I'd like to think that was the case. But okay. Combining the previous two items, if there's a mismatch in between performance and expectations, then we need to address it. But to the extent possible, we need to do this in a way that avoids public embarrassment. I don't think I can say that any clearer. Okay. The next point is not an intuitively obvious one, but all of this exercise is dependent on us understanding what good performance is. Not in a metric, but in a qualitative sense. And that really comes down to being able to write, I don't like the term, but I'll use it, a job description. What are our expectations of ALAC members? In order to expect the nominating committee or RALOs to appoint or elect people who will meet the qualifications and help the ALAC and help ICANN, we really need to make it clear. There's just no way that we can curse either of those groups, the RALOs or the NOMCOM, for selecting the wrong person if we haven't made it really clear what we're expecting, or at least as clear as one can. And I think that's going to be one of the challenges, but I think it needs to be one that has to be done very, very early on. As I was reading this, I thought it was worth noting that it's not just what we expect people to do on the ALAC, but what kind of responsibilities do they have in feeding information back to ALSs and things like that. I mean, I know I've occasionally sent out messages to at large or to ALAC, but not at large, saying we need to do something, and I know for a fact that none of the regions passed it on to their own people in their own language, you know, including my own region. So I think we need to clarify that kind of thing. I'm getting towards the end. Next, when there are problems, we need to involve the RALO. We cannot sit in judgment of a RALO-appointed person very easily. The first pass has to be involving the RALO, presumably with the RALO chair or secretariat, and trying to understand, are there local problems, are there regional problems? We currently don't have a set of procedures to remove someone who was appointed by the RALO. And I'm not sure I really want to develop such procedures. It really is a local issue. Now, if you have someone who is either doing nothing or their presence is hurting the ALAC, and the RALO wants to do nothing about it but is willing to accept that, I think we have a situation which we probably can't fix. Other than through education of the people in the RALO. I mean, yes, we can. Well, I'll come to this later, but I think it really is an issue of RALO. And even for the NOMCOM appointed people, if that person is not helping the region, I think the RALO people need to be concerned. They don't have the right to remove. And there are going to be valid times when the NOMCOM appointee disagrees with what the RALO is saying. That's fine. But at least they're active and contributing. Okay, I think I really covered that already. Nine. And, sorry. You're looking at eight?
If there is a problem with a NOMCOM appointee, and that person, in your view, needs to be replaced, it is possible for the NOMCOM to replace that person.
Yes. In fact, this was clarified after I wrote this, that within the first year of a two-year appointment, that the NOMCOM still exists. The NOMCOM collects names of people who are willing to be appointed partially through the year. And so, in theory, that can be fixed. It's not clear it would work for the second year of a two-year appointment. The wording is unclear. I suspect any given nominating committee might or might not, but in the second year of appointment, that person's going to be replaced anyway.
Adam, is yours directly? Because Carlos is in the queue. Is that directly in relationship to the NOMCOM? Do you see, just for the response? Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, the chair of the NOMCOM exists. He/she acts as an advisor to the following year and retains the data about the previous year's candidates. So they hold that data for 1 year, and after that there's a confidentiality agreement when it's destroyed, apparently. So it doesn't exist in the second year, basically, so you wouldn't be able to find someone to replace.
Carlos.
Gracias, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. First of all, when this was first presented was in Paris, and my proposal at that moment, I did it in Spanish. And then I asked for the help of the staff. Matthias helped me translate it. There is one aspect that was translated differently to what I first put in position. But the idea of that proposal, I hope you read it, the idea behind that proposal. The idea behind the proposal is precisely to dissuade or disincentivate the member of a LAC that is doing much of nothing. That is to incentivate, on the other hand, in contrary, incentivate for that person to work more actively. The idea is that there should be an ad hoc meeting to that effect on the part of ALAC every second meeting or every 6 months, where the performance of all the members of ALAC could be analyzed quickly. And if any of them deserves to be told something, to mention to him that he has a low development, a low performance, he's given 3 months until the next meeting to see whether he improves on his performance. If he didn't improve on his performance, then this ALAC gathers together all of them in full, because that's the idea when they decide on a member, and this person is given the opportunity to defend himself or herself in a special meeting, in a very short meeting, is asked to prepare a report to defend him or herself, why that low performance, and immediately ALAC will start deliberating and decides if it sends or not the replacement request to RALO or to NOMCOM. If RALO or NOMCOM ratifies the mandate, that person should continue until the end of his ALAC member status, and he could be replaced or she could be replaced. But the idea behind this is not to reach to this instance. The idea of the proposal is precisely de-incentivate or stimulate for this not to happen, because nobody wants to go through this procedure. Nobody would like to go through this procedure. This is what is behind the idea. And the parameters we should take into account in order to play or to judge our peers in that special meeting are the parameters everybody knows, which have been mentioned by Alan very well. Participation, being present at the meetings, send what is talked through in ALAC to the regions. We know this. And regarding incentivation, as Alan was saying, incentivation is something we did for the first time in this meeting. In this meeting in Sydney, we did incentivate, and it happened on Wednesday to assign tasks for each of the members of ALAC, or it was on Monday, I don't remember which day it was. But this generates a compromise. Therefore, which meeting are you going to go? He is going or she is going to which other meeting? Which meeting am I going? And then bring back a report. That's the incentive. And the one who doesn't do this, we have this tool to ask, to request that person to explain why he or she didn't do it. I keep on insisting on the proposal I elaborated in Paris 1 year ago, and I'd like you to read it, because I think that I keep on insisting, I'm convinced that this proposal gathers all the conclusions that Alan posed on the table, which I think are excellent.
I have a couple of specific comments on what Carlos said, but I'd like to just continue going through the process. I'll note that Carlos's documents in Spanish and English, with whatever error in translation there is, are included in the list of documents that are at the beginning of this thing.
I just want to check, is your point to the previous subject before Alan moves on?
Excuse me. My point is a comment to the process that Alan is talking about, not specifically to Carlos's.
Go ahead, Alan.
Is that a point you want to make now, or wait
no,
till
no,
the end?
Go ahead.
Oh, because your microphone's still on, so I didn't know.
It's fine.
Okay. I think we were at roughly point number 9 before. The overall, and this reiterates what Carlos said, the overall process of this is really not to build an enforcement process, but to get to the stage where we have few problems. The last thing we want to do is spend time addressing these kind of problems and all of the other difficulties that come along with it. Okay, now if you agree with most of what I've said before, then a number of conclusions come out of it. First of all, we need to define the job of an ALAC member. I mean, we probably need to do liaisons and all the other ones too, but right now I've been focusing, and I think our discussion has been focusing on ALAC members. And that's not an easy job to do well, but I think that has to be our first priority. Number two, we need to develop, and I say suggested methodology, because I think it's going to vary depending on the individual people involved, we need to develop methodology for RALOs to evaluate their ALAC members, both the ones they appoint and the NOMCOM. I know some regions have a formal process in place right now. Some have a less formal process. But I think we need to proactively and consciously make sure that this is not only in place, the procedure is in place, but it is followed on a regular basis by the RALOs. The RALOs are the first ones to lose if they have representatives who are ineffective. Because a number of the regions are already doing this in a very active and somewhat formal way in some cases, we have models, and I would like to try to collect those and use them as models for the other regions. But we need to be quite strong in suggesting to the RALOs, we don't have control over their rules of procedure, but suggest to the RALOs that this be done in a very active way. The next one is we need to put in place a process under which the ALAC takes action if there is indeed a problem. And I differ quite a bit from what Carlos is suggesting, because I feel, due to the cultural issues we talked about,
due to the inability of some people to confront their peers, I do not believe this should be done in a formal meeting of the ALAC. If we ever get to the stage where the ALAC is formally removing a person, which I'm not sure we have the right to, but assuming we do, we ever get to that stage, that would require a formal, presumably secret ballot to do it. But prior to that, having open discussions and asking people to defend themselves in front of their peers, I think is something which will not work. If either the person does not feel comfortable doing this, or the person who is being asked to confront them does not feel comfortable in public saying, you know, I know Gareth comes to all of our meetings. Forgive me, I'm picking on you. I know Gareth comes to
For
all of the
record,
NARALO
this
meetings.
This is an example.
But this is definitely an example. But I see him smiling, so it's okay. I might not feel comfortable in saying, Gareth comes to all of our meetings, but he never says anything. You know, occasionally he says, the meeting's almost over, shouldn't we leave? That's as much as he ever says. And if any of you know Gareth, you know I'm not describing him. But I might not feel comfortable saying that in a public meeting. And when you come around the table to me, I'll mumble something, saying, no, Gareth. And so I don't think we want to have a formal, you know, the equivalent of a trial or an interview with people asking them to defend themselves. I think we need to have a conversation with that person in a more private venue and give them the opportunity to explain themselves, point out that there is some dissatisfaction, but I would not want to see it as a formal ALAC action at that point. I would hesitate to say that we need, at any given time, somebody on the ALAC who can take the initiative in private. Now, whether it's the chair or it should be someone else who's appointed for their good negotiating skills or whatever, I don't know. It's something that needs more discussion. I think the first line of action when... speed up, yes. Okay, sorry. The first line of action is going to be when Gareth is not performing, we go to Evan, the chair of the RALO, and say, how are we going to handle this, and that kind of thing. So it needs more performance, but I would really like to avoid confrontation. And lastly, I don't think the whole ALAC as a vote should be involved unless there is a position where we actually have to take formal action, and at which point the ALAC will have to be involved in a secret vote. That's where we are right now. If you generally agree with the principles, I'd like to hear some comments. And then I think we continue as it's up to the chair, either this committee or perhaps a committee of the whole, to try to refine these and get to a set of principles we can accept.
Yes, I see. First, Carlos. I'm asking Carlos to go first because we will lose our translators now. Make it short.
Yes, I agree in what Alan is saying. There could be some sort of arbitration or amicable component, composition, conversation previous to the process, but I insist the process should exist. This process should go ahead because this amicable arbitration, we don't have a way to resolve it otherwise if it's not formally.
I'm going to punctuate and apologize profusely to the interpretation team who are not translating at all. They're doing a brilliant job of interpreting and they do have to leave. So can you please thank them all in the usual way? You are heroes, one and all. Adam. Gareth, then Adam. I did forget Gareth.
Oh, sure. the comment was made earlier that a RALO may—it's possible that a RALO would refuse to confront a situation like this. That may be, although I doubt it. May I point out that the reason I am sitting at this table is because a situation like that did arise in RALO and was dealt with, and this is the result. Thank you.
And we're very pleased with the result, might I mention. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the RALO should be taking a lead in this, and that's where the responsibility is. But
the most important thing to me is to actually get some kind of job description, for want of a better word, particularly as we're going to have three new NOMCOM appointees who are going to be appointed people joining us in November, and they will arrive on a description that is different from the one that I am serving under. And in terms of the amount of time, it's quite significant. They're going to be asked to do a minimum of 20 hours a month, and that does not include attending the three meetings. I was asked and joined on the assumption of 18 hours a month, which I think, reading the description I remember, and I probably wrote it, was included attending the three meetings. That's still about 2 months of work. And one of the things that the NOMCOM does, and this is different from you as RALO appointees, it actually asks you to make a formal commitment when you sign your statement of interest, i.e. your application, that you commit that time. So for me, and I imagine for many people, that means going to an employer and asking for that time, which I did. So if I actually then have to go back and ask for more, my employer's not going to be that pleased because they've already given that time to ICANN, in effect. So I think, you know, the actual job description is important, and we get it consistent year by year. Otherwise, we will struggle.
Yeah, and also, let's remember the coaching. We need to bring in people and decide who will coaching a little bit the people during that week, during the October meeting. Thank you.
I'm not sure I noted as I was flying by this. Both Fatimata and Carlos mentioned that part of this overall process is us coming up with a list of benefits to the ALSs in the region to rationalize why employers should give up some percentage of time.
Right. The time has come for us to move on to other things, but I think this discussion is the first step in what now needs to be an expedited step and a commitment, and I'm therefore going to say, of a committee of the whole to put comments, consider, and we will have this on our agenda for decision at the next ALAC meeting. Is there any objection to that time course now, which was at the end of the next month?
Sorry, so, next ALAC meeting in Seoul?
No, the next monthly ALAC meeting.
Okay.
I don't see the face-to-face meetings as other than an alternate space for our monthly meetings. Okay? Now, if anyone has got a six-month holiday that they're leaving on tomorrow, perhaps you should let us know now. 6 months? Oh, okay. How are you at working from the remote world of scuba diving and enjoying yourself, Sebastian?
No, my problem will be at the end of July. I will be in the middle of Australia, not in scuba diving. Then it will be difficult for me. I will be really, really in remote place then. But frankly, I am sure that you will do a great job, and I will follow the discussion before when I will be able to do it.
I'm sure, Sebastian, before you get to the middle of Australia, I can't imagine you not logging on and having a look at and responding if you have a problem with any of the comments. And I must apologise. We are a large country and we do have third world internet standards somewhere. And I'm afraid you are going sort of right out about as far as it can get. Interestingly enough, though, you may have better internet connectivity there, at least in the major nodes, than you would 40 kilometres away from this city. So all is not lost. The Centre of Australia, in fact, has been running educational programs over radio and have now moved to internet because of that since the very beginning. Go ahead, Alan.
Given the amount of time it's going to take to people get home to recover from these 20-hour days that some of us have been having, and get a document ready for at least a week before the meeting, I believe the next meeting is too aggressive. I believe we should have a good substantive thing to report. Coming out of again, it doesn't work if people don't respond to email and contribute or the wiki or whatever we use. So I do not think we're ready to vote on this coming meeting. I think we should have a good update
And hopefully the meeting after that, but that remains to be seen if that's the right one. I'm not recommending we wait till Seoul.
No, I like to be pushy. But let's then list it for discussion, if that is the feeling of the meeting. Is everyone else in agreement with Alan that that is being overly optimistic and aggressive, that we list it for discussion at our next meeting?
With a reasonable amount of time allocated.
Yes.
And whenever we get to general topics, I have a very short statement about related to this, but on a different subject.
Any further discussion on this matter? That matter's closed. General business is open.
I know we spent an infinite amount of time trying to figure out when our ALAC meeting should be and try to coordinate it with the RALO meetings and such, but I really feel that at this point, one meeting a month is insufficient. I would like to see us go to, perhaps one meeting every 3 weeks or something like that. I don't believe we're getting enough discussion, real discussion going on the teleconferences, and would like to see more. I may be unique.
And let's remember we need to have inter-RALO meetings.
Yes, I think the inter-RALO meetings may take that space and may, however, also contribute valuably, make more value into what's happening in our ALAC discussions, because I'm concerned about volunteer burnout here.
What is an inter-RALO meeting?
You see, well, this is what happens when you hide in the GNSO representing us.
Granted, but may I get an answer anyway?
Yes, certainly. Vanda, do you want to?
I have suggested that since there is Andres have raised a lot of difficulties to run some RALOs, and we should get more advantages and informations and best practices exchanging. If we have inter-RALO meetings, the secretariats together with the chairs, or even only the chairs, once amounts to talking about RALO issues and how they could improve what is going on in their region and blah, blah. So it could be very useful for the RALOs and get more interaction among them. That's the idea.
I didn't look up to see who was first. Is it you, Desi?
I was
first. Or Sebastian.
She will go first, because I'm sure she will say the same thing.
Okay.
Actually, this is already an action item for staff to revive the secretariat's wiki and to organize something like monthly conferences between the secretariats to discuss that kind of issue. So it's already into the action items and into the agenda.
To add, it was a proposal made by Desi yesterday at the Secretariat's chair meeting, and I was participating in, and they made this decision. And I think we need, as ALAC, support this decision and welcome this organization to be set up. Thank you.
I certainly think that's going to be a huge powerhouse of productivity, because it has to be. There's no choice. Well, because one region then can look at what another region is doing. We don't always have core focuses on particular topics, but you can, in fact, perhaps form some mutual agreements, get a short version out to your communities and get it back in a reasonable time. Go ahead.
And I must say that at this meeting I was very pleased to see a lot of work done by AFRALO, for example. They produced three different papers, and it's very, very interesting, and it's important that it's shared among the RALOs, because it could give some good idea from each to other.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all, one and all, for what I think has been hugely rewarding, occasionally exciting, and often challenging, sleep deprived, and over exercised, or should I say under exercised, and over sedentary experience.
And a wonderful country.
And I'm glad we got the weather right eventually. Is there any final word from staff? Because they're doing things. Yes, no, we're right. She can close.
No, just I just would want to be sure that everybody gets the mail that we received from the ICANN Constituency Travel, because it's important for you to know that you need to leave your room at 11 a.m. and you need to be to leave the hotel 3 hours before. Then if you don't have this mail, just ask me or the staff to give it to you, please.
And we also get an email from Bertrand. I'm not found it now, but it will be a meeting in the afternoon. Is that there?
At noon?
Function two. Yep.
Okay. We will have sometime this morning an official verdict on exactly when and exactly where, and it will go out on the Skype because we don't have a window open for this morning. So
but in the afternoon we have a meeting.
The executive have a meeting till 6 o'clock. Yes, we've got staff people lined up. Okay. Thank you all. Ballroom.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the biscuits and the Vegemite.